Welcome to the webinar today and the podcast. My name is Marlon Sampson. I've got the pleasure of having the Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing from Ericsson LG. Ayad, welcome home, buddy.
Thanks, champ. It's great to be home. And as I said to Willow last week, a bad day in Sydney, even in lockdown where I am here at my parents' place, is better than a good day in most other countries around the world. So.
Very, very true, Ayad. And for the guys that don't know, Ayad's been living over in Korea for how many years, Ayad?
I think I'm in my 16th year, but who's counting?
God, a lot of would have changed. A lot of would have changed in Korea in 16 years, and especially, I guess, how's life changed for you with COVID-19? And obviously, the move home's been hopefully it's a good thing. How's life changed, buddy?
Well, I think for all of us, life both personally and professionally has changed significantly. I mean, until recently, last month, I hadn't been on a business trip for well over 18 months. And that business trip was to Sweden to see Patrick in headquarters. The way that, we work, the way that we're engaging with our customers and partners these days is mostly done online. My work environment is a blend of both office and home, like many of you guys here. The situation in Korea is not as severe as what we're seeing here in terms of lockdowns. And we're still able to freely move around and the office is open. And, you know, the policy for us is it's a recommendation. It's not a mandatory work from home or work from office environment. So we're kind of just feeling it out. And what it looks like, at least for Ericsson LG, that this will become the norm for us going forward, since we found, frankly, a lot of advantages from this way of working. And I hope that some of the things will default back to how they were pre-COVID, particularly face-to-face meetings and in-person events such as our partner conference. Those are the things I think that I miss the most in doing my job. And this online stuff is great, but I think has some limitations.
I can't agree more with you, Ayad. There, life's definitely changed, and I think we're kind of lucky in our industry because we've always talked about being able to work from anywhere or setting up businesses to work from home. So I guess that's lucky that we're in that technology field. But have you really seen? And lucky that you've got to go to Sweden, by the way. We're not allowed out of the country, as everyone knows. But have you really seen...
Wasn't allowed back in.
That's a good point, actually. That's a whole new story in itself. It took you a long time to get back, didn't it?
I was telling Patrick, hitting the targets this year is going to be easier than getting into Australia.
Very, very true. But those, it's definitely a different change. How have you seen the markets change around the world? Obviously, being Vice President of Global Sales, you sit in Korea, where I'm imagining, pretty much every business uses Ericsson LG. I'd like to hear a little bit about that, but then also what you're seeing in the other countries. Like, how has it changed?
All right. So we operate in about 60 markets across the world. Developed markets like North America and UK and, of course, Australia. Some developing markets as well, right through Southeast Asia, parts of Eastern Europe and the like. So we kind of see a cross-section of a lot of different things. And the one thing that I will tell you about it is that it's really a mixed bag. We continue to see strong demand for our premise-based portfolio across the world, even in developed markets like North America. And while there's been some decline in most markets in this portfolio, what we've been able to do is grow our business in some of these markets where competitors such as Panasonic and Mitel have made very public exits out of this this space. So we've picked up some new partners in the UK, actually Panasonic's largest partner there in Nymans. That's a public announcement that we've made. We're on the verge of signing. Sorry.
No, keep going, please.
We're on the verge of signing their biggest partner in Indonesia called ITCOM, and we're penetrating new markets in Eastern Europe. Our number one partner in the U.S., Vertical Communications there, who is a big Mitel house, is also migrating a lot of the Mitel business towards us. So, as I said, it's a mixed bag out there. The prem-based stuff is still very strong, but you can't ignore what's going on from a cloud transformation perspective as well. Listening to the analysts, and I, you know, we talk to them and we read a lot of the output that they prepare, there is a very accelerated shift towards cloud migration in general around the world. And we are reaping the benefits of that in markets where we've deployed our cloud platforms in the UK, US and others. And we're seeing that really growing exponentially as customers are forced to work remotely, take advantage of these, you know, tools that that allow you to onboard new features much, much quicker than you otherwise would have been able to do with a prem-based solution.
I totally agree with you, Arhed. And look, in Australia, we're still in our infancy for Ericsson LG Cloud. And as you know, and thanks to you guys, we recently launched with Telstra, only through the TBTC channel at the moment with Telstra Cloud PBX calling. I find that name quite a mouthful, but it's starting to ramp up. And some of the things we're seeing coming out in that cloud development is fantastic for us. I guess one of the things that I've noticed going forward at the moment is Microsoft Teams. We're seeing it, we're hearing it, 250 million daily active users, you know, pretty much every desktop we have. And I have to say, unfortunately for me, or fortunately enough, every phone call I have is how do I integrate with Teams? You guys just allowed us a really, really advanced integration with our IPEX to Teams product. Do you see that as a good way forward? Is this a good move for Ericsson LG to integrate with Microsoft?
Look, absolutely. I mean, I think the term co-opetition was coined in Australia by Willow and others. And so, you know, for us, this is a very important component to the integration story and the richness of the solution story. And what I will tell you about the market, just in addition to what we're seeing from a migration perspective, is it's very crowded and it's high innovation. We're seeing a lot of new entrants into this segment, and they all come with a different perspective or a different anchor feature that is their kind of their strength. So you've got guys like us who come really from a telephony perspective and are very strong on telephony PBX kind of feature set. You've got the Microsofts of the world who come in at it from a UC perspective and have a very strong UC offering, but weaker telephony offering. And then you got the Zoom kind of guys that come in from a video conferencing perspective and trying to branch out into this UC space. So their video conferencing capabilities are their strength and they're still weak in others. And I think the point of that is that we all have strengths and weaknesses in the way that we've come to market and the way that we're delivering solutions in the market. And one of the things that we need to be able to do, at least in the short term while we fill out our portfolios, is, you know, integrate, cooperate, and leverage each other's strengths and weaknesses to deliver the best possible solution to the partner. Now, I don't think there is a single vendor in the market today that is able to claim superiority in all three areas. I mean, even Microsoft today, we're seeing as we're engaging with Telstra and other customers, are missing some very fundamental features to be able to deliver business communication services to enterprises, things like hunt groups, you know, like a very simple thing, but again, very important feature. Many businesses today to be able to have that capability are non-existent. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we see an advantage for us. And then certainly the collaboration pieces, as Microsoft is prevalent in the desktop, we need to be able to access that installed base. We need to have that integration. And so we've developed that, and the feedback that we're getting from you and others, and I know you can talk to this a lot more intelligently than me, given that you've deployed so many of them here in the country, gives us a stronger value proposition to the customer with that integration. So absolutely, it's the right decision for us. And it's been very well received from customers in the field.
Guys, I absolutely commend you guys on doing that integration into it. It's taken us into a different level of customer. We're quoting more larger deals. If the channel isn't talking about Teams, I think you're a little bit crazy. It's a great conversation starter. And the thing that I like to think of it, Ahed, is you're absolutely right. Teams has a very, very basic telephony, a great soft phone, but a very basic telephony feature where we've got a very good telephony history, you know, with Ericsson LG, and yet we get to use their nice little soft phone at the front, so giving the customers everything they need. I think it's a great solution. But something that I'm a little bit more excited about, and the people that have joined today's podcast and the people that have joined today's webinar, we're about to launch a new app in Australia for Ericsson LG. You know, I believe it's called IPX One. Any thoughts on this new app or anything you can tell us? Not too much, obviously, because we haven't quite launched it. It will be available on our cloud platform very, very soon. But anything you can tell us about this exciting new product?
Sure. I'm not good at keeping secrets. I mean, I'll try not to give away too much pre-launch. But certainly this is, you know, IPX One for us has been a collaboration platform that's been years in development. And, you know, we've been criticized in the past for being a little bit too late with some of the innovation. But the reason for us taking as long as we did with IPX One delivery is we really wanted to wait for the WebRTC standards to be fully ratified before launching it. And I think some of the other vendors that claim to have WebRTC technology have really faked it. It's not a true WebRTC implementation, where what you're going to experience with us is a collaboration platform that is a standards-based WebRTC application. Now, what does that mean, and what does that, why is that important? The importance of using this technology is it really moves us away from these applications that we need to develop over the top of the, you know, Android or the different OSs and iOS and other things. And it gives us a web-based application that unifies the user experience across all devices, whether that's a desktop, a mobile, a tablet, whatever, because the browser now acts as really that that environment from which we launched the collaboration tools. And we've built in all the stuff that you would expect from a collaboration platform, with presence and chat and video and the likes of that. This product will replace our UCE application and will be the centerpiece, I think, of the collaboration portfolio moving forward for us. So we're excited about the launch in Australia. It's already been launched in the UK. Rave reviews that we're getting from the partners and the customers that are using it there. So it's really just an extension and that bridge, if you like, to enriching the value proposition of IPX Cloud to include all of the collaboration capabilities as well, you know, similar to what many of our competitors are doing. So, yeah.
I'm glad you're not holding state secrets, because I think you just told us all about the products. But well done, mate. I'm pumped for IPX One. Just so you guys know, I received that on Monday night about 7 o'clock, and the installation process of this is probably the best I've ever seen. As annoying as things are through COVID, where we QR check in, the installation is just a QR code. You just hold your phone above it, and it's installed. I didn't have to put in username and passwords. Guys, it is going to be a killer app. I'm super pumped for it, and it's really going to put our cloud into that next generation. Guys, I must remind you that at any stage, you're welcome to ask any questions. You don't get much of a chance to talk to the Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing, Ahed, so you're welcome to ask any questions. Don't be shy. And with that said, thanks for telling us a little bit about IPX One. My experience has been fantastic. There's something that's always concerning me, though, Ahed, is on-premise dead, or is everything going to the cloud? What are we seeing from Ericsson LG, or what is Ericsson LG see as the future? It does concern me, because obviously, you know, I've been an on-premise guy for many, many years, and we're heading into that cloud story like everybody else. What's your thoughts?
Well, look, you know, obviously I've got a very strong opinion about this, and I'm not surprised that many of the partners are so confused by all of the, you know, messages that are coming from vendors and analysts and the like. It's very confusing. My perspective on this is very simple, and the simplicity of it is that, you know, enterprise customers are unique. There is not a cookie cutter solution for every different enterprise, small business, medium business, large business, different verticals, etc. And I think the approach that we've taken with our portfolio strategy is to have a portfolio of products that address customer requirements or customer issues. And I think, you know, the prem business is absolutely not dead. There is still a significant swath of enterprises that still see premise as a more viable solution for them, whether it's from a cost perspective, from an operations perspective, from a security perspective, from a feature function perspective, right? So, you know, I think we get hung up on the technology and lose sight of the business requirements or the business issues that we're trying to solve. So for me and for Ericsson LG, we continue to invest in our prem-based portfolio. As I said, it's still a significant part of what we sell, and significant demand is still being seen globally in all markets, developed and developing for our solutions. There is obviously an appetite for cloud as well, so that's fine. And you know, for us, we will continue to develop the solutions that address business requirements. And I encourage you and all of our partners to have that business conversation with the customer rather than a technology conversation. I suppose if all you've got in your kit bag is premise, then that's all you're going to talk about. And if it's cloud, that's all you've got in your kit bag, then that's all you're going to talk about. But the way that with the IPEX cloud and the IPEX on-prem portfolio, they are synergistic in the way that we've developed them. So an endpoint will work regardless of what platform the customer chooses to deploy. The apps work in the same way. The user experience is similar. So for us, absolutely not dead. Still see significant demand for it, and we expect that to continue into the future. So, there it is. It's not a popular thing to say in the analyst in the community, right? Everybody's pumping cloud. So I'm a bit of an outlier, I think, in this message. But I think time will show us, and history has shown us too. We still sell analog endpoints and digital endpoints. This is 50-year-old technology. So the customers will use what makes sense for them, and not what vendors try and shove down their throats.
I agree completely, Ahed. And I think one of the greatest powers of Ericsson LG in our marketplace is our ability to provide an on-premise equipment, hybrid cloud, virtualized, or even public cloud with AWS. And I believe in the future we're going to be doing other cloud providers. And then our full-blown cloud, our Ericsson LG cloud. I think that gives us the ability to go into any deployment or any appointment with a customer and allow them to choose their adventure, so to speak, not us force the technology upon them. With that said, mate, are soft phones the way to go? Are soft phones the future? You mentioned digital handsets being 50 years ago. Do you think there's going to be a drop in digital, more IP? Are more people going towards soft phones?
Well, look, I mean, we haven't seen, at least in our business, and if you look at the Polycom numbers and the pure terminal guys or vendor play, the endpoint, the hard set, it's still, the desktop set is still selling very, very strongly. And in fact, conversations that I have with a lot of our customers, particularly in the UK, where we've got a very strong deployment of cloud, is they're looking for licenses or extension licenses for, reception desks, or for huddle meeting rooms. So there's still a requirement to have a desktop phone, particularly in those businesses where there's a shared responsibility or a shared device. So you think about, and I know you sell into this vertical a lot, the retail vertical or the hospitality vertical, where a restaurant, that host kind of reception, and into a hair salon, where that desktop, it's still the business phone, if you will, or the shared device in the business meeting rooms. So there's still a demand for it, and people like me will have dual devices, right? So I've got a desktop in the office, and I've also used a soft client on my mobile device when I travel. So there's still demand for this, and we're still seeing that in our sales, and we're seeing that across the industry. It hasn't really dipped. But obviously, mobile penetration and mobile devices are increasing, remote working and other things. So it's kind of fueling, if you will, demand across all segments.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And do you think remote working's here to stay? Like, do you think how the business is going to operate in what's Ericsson LG's view of how businesses are going to operate? Is it going to be a hybrid approach, everyone back to the office? What do you think life's going to be like in a few years' time?
Well, I don't know that I'm an authority on this, but
You'd be
you
making
know,
the technology
it,
towards some sort of an idea, I'm guessing.
right. I mean the psychology of it and stuff. So, I've been following obviously what Apple and Google are doing, and those two companies are mandating everybody back to the office to drive innovation and collaboration in the office. And I got to tell you, I'm a non-Korean speaking Korean resident, and meetings have been tough to do remotely. It's much
I'd
easier,
imagine.
especially when we discuss complex things, and you need a whiteboard and you need to have a discussion. It's not as effective, frankly, remotely as those discussions will be in a face-to-face environment. So, I really believe that the future will continue to be a hybrid of only because a lot of employees are demanding it, right? So the employees don't want to come back into the office per se. Many of them have expressed in the polls that we've done internally as Ericsson a desire to maintain this kind of hybrid working environment and come in only when they need to. But I fear that that may stifle some innovation and collaboration amongst the different divisions that we have, and the depth of conversation and debate that you can have when deciding, new features, new functions, etc. So I'm kind of sitting on the fence on this one. It will, I think it will maintain a hybrid kind of environment, but I think we will lose some things as a result of that moving forward. But the employees have spoken. And I think Google and Apple are finding it very tough to get their staff back into the offices full time, and many have revolted and threatening to leave. So
Yeah,
it's going to play out, isn't it? We're going to have to
it's
just.
going to be a different world either way. I don't think there is one way. But from you guys developing, in my opinion, one of the best work from home telephone systems, whether it's on premise or cloud, it's definitely one of the easiest to set up. Will you guys be developing more functionality for people to work from home? Like obviously, IPX One will have collaboration and things like that. Is that on your radar to develop?
Look, I think Marlon, you said this in your opening. That's been a core value proposition for us in the UC space for a long, long time. We've always espoused the value of being able to work from anywhere, anytime, on any device, and that's been a kind of a value prop that is central to the UC application suite, and that will continue. That won't change. I think what we've seen in the COVID years, is that more uptake, and I think what we've seen also with cloud is the simplification you talked about earlier. The QR code login to a conference call or to a meeting, to an installation of an application. There's been a lot of tools that simplify that technology, both in operations and management, and also usability that has fueled the take up, but also I think the environment with which we're in has also helped to accelerate that. So I think there's a combination of things at play. We'll continue to develop them, and obviously now that the use attachment rates and the user usability has increased, that'll just allow us more creativity, if you will, to continue to develop those features moving forward. So central tenet of UC has been and will continue to be.
Yeah, look, I can't agree more. Just changing it up a little bit here. I had, mate, I mean, I just checked out your LinkedIn while we're just having a chat there. Pretty impressive history. You've been successful in everything you've pretty much done, which something I'm looking up to. What's something you failed at?
Oh, Jesus, there's been, look, I mean, failure, what is it they say about failure? You're not trying hard enough if you haven't failed. So look, for us, in more recent years with Ericsson LG, I would have loved to got IPX One out sooner. I mean, if we had had this application available in the marketplace a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, we could have really seen a much more traction in our business. I think, I'm still struggling with the pace of change and the transformation rate from prem to cloud, we're probably not going to get that right as well. It's just, you know, it's not consistent across the world. In some markets, we're obviously moving too slowly to capture the demand. In some other markets, we're moving too fast because the demand for prem is still there. So I think, you know, we're just not going to get it right. It's just impossible, I think. So for me, you know, we've made some good decisions, but we've also failed in some areas there with getting our strategy right to match the requirements of every market that we play in. So there are some partners that are not so happy campus because of decisions that we've made, but we try and make those strategic decisions to suit the greater good and the, you know, the greater opportunity. So there's no doubt we get it wrong in some markets.
Look, I think we've done well across the years. Mate, just for everyone else, if there is any questions, we are wrapping up very, very shortly. We don't have much of a chance to ask our head questions. Please do so in the questions tab. And also, I am running a poll at the moment, and this is quite an important one for me. I would like you guys to fill in this poll. Would you like Ericsson LG to develop the 1040 and 1050 handsets with Wi-Fi? Do you guys think that would be a good idea for people to be able to work from home? That just means that you don't have to go home with your handset and plug it into the blue cable, which is in the garage, and sit there. You can just plug it in anywhere where there's Wi-Fi, and away you go. I'd love to get that that poll up to about 80%. I had, you know, one of the things I guess I miss, and I'm sure pretty much everyone that's ever been to one of our conferences.
Can I just interrupt you there? Can I just interrupt you there, if you don't mind? The Wi-Fi handset.
Don't talk about my Wi-Fi.
Particularly on the desktop. So not like in a mobile form factor. So it's a desktop mobile, desktop Wi-Fi capability. That was driven by a requirement we had here in Korea. So Lotte department stores didn't want to be running cables all over their beautiful shop floors. And they wanted to have these desktops with Wi-Fi capabilities in them. So, yeah, we developed some kludge capability with a pack, like a backpack that you added to this thing, like a Wi-Fi backpack. But this, you know, the value proposition and the usability is, of course, for home usage, but also in some retail environments or heritage listed places where you can't run the blue cable. But still need desktop kind of form factor and functionality. There's a niche, but there are some verticals out there and some applications for that beyond just remote working.
Yeah, look, I think it's if it's something we bring in, it's going to be an absolute killer for it. With that said, you talked about Lotte and some big shopping centers that you have over there. Some well-known clients. I mean, people always ask us, you know, who are some of your largest clients? Can you name some really big ones that you guys have, even if it's in Korea or worldwide? I think it was ABC News in the US use us, or Disney or something like that. Is there any really well-known, house-known clients that use Ericsson LG?
Yeah, so look, it's across the world. I mean, in Korea, we have like 60%, 70% market share. So anybody that you can imagine that's a Korean company, Hyundai, you know, LG, of course, Lotte, all the defense forces in Korea, the police force, thousands and thousands of customers in Korea are using the Ericsson LG UC portfolio. More recognizable kind of brand, CVS in the US is a customer of ours. Also some government facilities. You mentioned ABC. We do the election with them every year. Sean and the team out there set it up and dismantle it, set it up and dismantle it for them as they do the national political tours, whatever it is that they do there. We've got some Ministry of Interior in Algeria. We've got some really big retail stores that we've just won with cloud in the UK. So Next PLC, we have NHS in the UK as well. I think they're the largest employer globally. It's not the whole NHS, it's one of their divisions in Oxley that we have there. So, you know, I mean, we get to Union County in North Carolina. So that was a really interesting deal where we brought together the county's different departments, you know, police, the national parks, the libraries, you know, the civil areas. That was a great deal for us. So it's a cross section. Yeah, there's some blue ribbon kind of names out there. Obviously in Australia, there's some really good ones that you guys would be familiar with, of course. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool to meet some of these guys and see how they're using your technology for sure.
It's good to hear, you know, because sometimes we're perceived, I guess, in the Australian market as, you know, a small business engine. And I love small business. There's nothing to be embarrassed about that at all, because there's more small businesses to sell to than very large conglomerates. But it is interesting to see overseas where it's used with these military organizations or government organizations in the US that we're fit for purpose. Because sometimes I think we're not exactly considered to be that right fit for those large organizations, where obviously we are. With that said, just changing it up a little bit, guys, we are coming to an end. If there is any questions, please feel free to ask anything. With that said, Ahed, we've been on some good conferences together. I've definitely got some good memories, or I probably don't have some good memories, depends on what we're talking about. Where's been your favourite conference destination, and where would you like to see a conference in the future as well? Just adding to that.
Where I'd like to see one, that's easy, Sydney. I mean, great to come home for me. I only get the chance to come here usually once a year, so... Sydney would be a fantastic position to show off, I guess, you know, the beauty of the country, and also many of our partners consistently request that we do one here in Sydney, but it's just so cost prohibitive, A, to get everyone here and then to do it. But if cost was not the factor, for sure, Sydney would be the place that we'd like to do it. And, you know, for me, we're the best conference that we've had, it again in the region, it was in Kota Kinabalu in Borneo. It was just just an amazing place for me with the rainforest and all the nature and just the people and the environment was a great conference for us. Again. Overwhelmingly, our partners are always requesting that we do it in a warmer climate. We've tried to kind of do it in Banff or somewhere cold, but it doesn't rate very well. We've tried historical things like Dubrovnik. It also didn't rate very well. So it seems as though party areas. Oh, we did one in China. That didn't go down well either. There was not enough party drinking places. So, I don't know. It's hard to kind of – we got a party – minded partner community. So we've got to make sure there's lots of beer. We've got to make sure that there's some entertainment places outside the conference that can be enjoyed. So as long as we do that, mostly we get them on site.
God, hard to believe that you know, like where we're sitting right now, that we get to go to these conferences. I quite like Dubrovnik, to be honest. I thought that was quite a good one. And Mexico definitely stood out for myself as well. I think Mexico was Cancun was
oh, Cancun.
Once.
Yeah, that was a good one too. We had a few over the years, haven't we?
Yeah, there's been some good times, good stories.
Yeah, one that stands out for me was the 10-year anniversary of ARIA in New Zealand. I thought that was a great one as well.
You can't go wrong in New Zealand. It's always a good place to travel to. So, yeah, looks good. Guys, really nice. We've got a couple of little questions come through. Release date of the 1080 handset. I believe we're towards the end of the year for that new handset to come out. That is coming. So that's exciting, that handset, by the way, guys. If you haven't seen it, it is very, very hot and very sexy. I've had a request from David Burgess for a conference in South Korea. I think that's a pretty good one as well. I think that would be an eye-opener for a lot of people as well. And that's, I'm sure that's as exciting to the Koreans as you bringing up Sydney. Since we're living in Sydney.
I'm looking for a reason to get out. People want a reason to come in. for sure.
Absolutely.
Actually, it'd be a great place. And I should apologize, Marlon, on the delay of the 1080. That was really something beyond our control with component availability. It's been a crazy 18 months with supply chain and manufacturing and shipping and all of these things that have been disrupted by COVID. And while our team has done a really good job to kind of minimize the impact on shortages, it's been really, I have a weekly call now with supply team. I have never done that in my career because you just take it for granted that there's components are available and ships are there to, take things where you need them to go. But the last 18 months has really been a challenge for that team. And despite those headwinds, they've done a really good job in managing supply. But the 1080 was delayed because of that. I apologize, but it should be in your hands very, very soon.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us today on the webinar and also the podcast. I believe next week we're going to be having yourself and Peter Williamson discuss, how do we get customers interested in these type of solutions? I'm sure it'll be entertaining, and we just never know what Pete's going to say. So that'll also be entertaining. I'll make sure Mike's on the beat button for that one as well. Guys, thank you very much for attending. There is a Spotify link up there and an Apple Podcast link. There is some really good information on there if you're learning about features and you want to do so in under 2 minutes. There's a couple of really nice interviews like today. If you do have any ideas, please reach out. And remember that everyone from ARIA is here to help you guys be successful. Ahed, thank you very much for joining me on today's program.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, and look forward to reaching out to a few of the partner guys out there to kind of touch base while I'm here in Sydney over the next few weeks.
Excellent.
Assuming we get our lockdown.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get to do a Christmas party before you go. Guys, thank you very much. Thanks for joining today.
Thank you.